mediocre consistency is better than brilliant inconsistency.
I think that's true. I think that's a good rule for life. All right, here we go. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Episode 7, Season 2 of Culture Time, the Keanu Reeves season. Today, we're going to be talking about The Lake House and take a dive into Keanu Reeves as a romantic leading man.
Hi, everybody. This is Brian. I'm happy to be here with Hemel in, as always, her lavishly appointed podcasting studio, continuing our dark journey into the heart of the American psyche by looking at the movies of Keanu Reeves. This one is particularly dark, and I have a bone to pick with you.
Let's start with your bone to pick with me.
I had not seen The Lake House, and when you and I were sitting, and there were some obvious choices as we looked at the Keanu movies we would do. We have to do Point Break. We have to do Speed, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. You were lobbying for the romantic comedies.
Yes.
And I said, well, of course, we want to cover all aspects of our hero. And you said, well, the best romantic comedy is The Lake House. They're like, all right, I haven't seen it, but I like a good romantic comedy. This is the least comedic movie I've ever seen in my life. It is a rom, but it is not a com. There isn't even any levity in the film.
So I, on a further rewatching of this film, I realized that there is actually no comedic element
to it. No comedic element. Nobody
whatsoever.
Even smiles in the movie. It is a romantic grimity.
I think in my notes I've written too serious.
It's a very serious film.
It is a very serious film.
I don't know that it has earned the seriousness with which it takes itself.
I don't know. I love the ones where Brian and I kind of disagree. So The Lake House, let me bring people up to speed on the plot.
So normally we talk about the plot of the film. I feel like you're really, and you do normally do an excellent job, despite my interruptions, in summarizing the plot. This one is good. This is a curveball because this plot is preposterous. It doesn't make any sense. It recoils on itself every 15 minutes. I would like to hear how you're going to explain this.
Like, I don't know why you think it is so problematic that there is a magic mailbox through which the laws
There's
of time
a magic house, a magic dog, I think.
Don't apply.
Is the dog magic?
The dog's not magic.
I think the dog is magic.
We'll come back to it. We'll come back to it.
Write down dog magic ? So we remember to talk about it. Anyway, what happens in The Lake House starring Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock?
It is about a love story between two people who are separated by 2 years, yet somehow manage to communicate through a magic mailbox.
That's so weird! 2 years! It would make sense if he was like a Civil War general and she was like a nurse in 1920. But they're living. One of them lives in 2004 and one lives in 2006. They could have called each other at any point, but they do all this crazy rigmarole with the magic mailbox.
I can't stop laughing.
How did this movie even get greenlit with that premise?
Well, it's a remake of a South Korean film.
Well, I'm not blaming the South Koreans for this.
It's a remake of a South Korean film that's originally called Il Mare, I think, which is Italian for the sea. So I don't know why a South Korean film
clears it right up.
Yes, it's, but it is a. It is not a romantic comedy. It is a drama, but it's also a weird genre film because it's definitely more fantasy than
it is. It is not a genre film.
Okay.
I ride or die by genre films, and this movie is not going in with them.
All right. So the plot is two people separated by 2 years who somehow manage to exchange letters through a magic mailbox, fall in love, and at the end unite and live happily ever after.
A lot happens in the movie that you did not touch upon in your seemingly very straightforward summary.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Were you able to buy into the premise of the film?
No! Are you kidding?
Well, I'm asking because it's whether or not you buy into the premise is whether or not you enjoy the film.
So first of all, I didn't realize, again, you said it was a rom-com, so I was expecting something much more straightforward.
All right, my bad.
That's actually fine because I came to it not knowing it was a time travel movie. And so I figured it out, you make the movie and you leave some clues for the viewer.
Right.
And I was that viewer. Wendy and I were watching it and we're like, And then about the time when the characters figured out, I'm like, holy shit, this is a time travel movie. But
yeah.
The people who made the film have not even a hint of respect for the basic laws of causality. Every time travel thing in the movie is wrong. And I get it's not a hardcore science fiction time travel movie.
Right.
I would have forgiven a lot. But they don't even try. Like, nothing makes a lick of sense. So Keanu keeps doing these things in 2004, and they just, boop, in 2006. He plants a tree, and Sandra Bullock goes, hooray, a tree just grew! And he, but the tree would have always been there! That's what time travel means! Everything he does in 2004 would have already been there. He runs through a train station, and she doesn't see him. She would have seen him! She would have remembered seeing him, because it happened! That's the problem with the movie. It treats these 2 years apart in time like they're geographic distances. And when something happens over here, its cause is felt over there. But the thing that happened over here happened 2 years ago. Why does Sandra Bullock not know or remember any of these things?
Well, like you said earlier, it's not like this is happening over decades. This is happening over 2 years. And she... this is getting too far into it, but she did meet him at a party and kiss him and then doesn't remember.
And it doesn't remember. Why? If I kissed a hot dude at a party a year ago, I would remember it when I saw him again.
I did buy into the premise of the film because it does mean that you have to suspend any belief.
All disbelief.
Right. You have to suspend all disbelief about everything.
About how everything works.
Yes, about all your
and
laws
not just
of
the time
physics
travel.
And
yeah.
time.
The basic laws of causality, which you could have fixed half of the movie just by like giving it a half an hour's thinking. Not only do they disregard all that, the primary way that the characters interact is through these letters.
In a magic mailbox.
But it's a dialogue. Like they're just, hey, how was your day? My day was really good. I miss you too. That's not how letters work. You don't mail a person one... We are meant to believe that Keanu is mailing her a letter with, like, a one-line question. She's driving 2 miles out to the sticks to write the response on an envelope, and somehow they're able to carry on a contemporaneous conversation that way.
All right, so we're getting into the reaction portion of the podcast. Brian, obviously not a fan.
A little carried away in my anger.
I will say, in my notes, I have written, I love this movie, and I underlined it twice.
Are you doing that to get my goat?
No, I'm not, actually. Hmm. I did it as a purely genuine reaction to the absurdity and silliness of the film.
Is that what do you love about it? You love the absurdity of it?
I do. I agree with you about certain flaws that the film has, but this is a purely fantastical, whimsical film where absolutely nothing makes sense. If you believe that people are able to communicate through a magic mailbox, then nothing else really needs to matter after that. But so if you buy into the premise, which I did,
yes,
then there's no point in getting frustrated about causality or the laws of time travel. I'm accepting this film into the structure of the film. You have a very hard time doing that.
I do, but my problem with that is not just that, you know, I'm an internet nerd ranting about, you know, that Spock's mother is different in one movie than the other. It's more that if you're going to use these kind of conventions, like if you're going to take the narrative and metaphorical device of a time travel device, whether
right.
it's a house or a mailbox or whatever, you should care about it in some way, right? There's really, if they just set out to make a movie where Keanu and Sandra Bullock are, you know, they're kind of falling in love, but they can't quite get together, you could have done that a million normal ways. You didn't need to do that with the time-traveling house, dog, and mailbox. So the fact that they chose the time-traveling house, dog, and mailbox and then didn't give a crap about what it implied, it's very confusing to me.
See, that's actually what I loved about it, and I swear I'm not doing this.
What did you love about it? I don't understand.
So if you let me finish.
You know I can't do that.
So I swear I am not doing this to deliberately goad you on, even though this is so much fun.
I do see in your notes that you wrote, I love it, and you did underline it twice.
I know. I love the fact that with traditional romantic films, I get it, this is not a rom-com or even like drama films, they try to be too realistic without actually being realistic, right? There's so many conventions in romantic comedies that are meant to make you think that this is how the real world actually works.
The characters are kept apart by ludicrous circumstances.
Right, right. But you're meant to buy into the fact that they're living in reality.
Right.
This just scraps that altogether.
That's interesting.
This says that this is universe where the laws of time and physics and everything you know doesn't actually exist.
So the 7 years of Ross and Rachel not getting together on Friends, in your mind, would have been less annoying, and it annoyed everybody, if there had been, like, a time travel reason they couldn't get together.
Well, I don't understand the point in pretending that something is more real than something else when actually neither of the things are real.
So they're embracing the absurdity of the romantic movie conventions.
They're or not even the absurdity of romantic movie conventions, but they're embracing the, oh God, futility isn't the word, but the randomness of how we view romantic love. If you can buy into the premise that two people will have a meet cute and then go through a series of obstacles, but then to find out that they love each other anyway, how is that so different from a magic mailbox and a magic dog and a beautiful house on the lake?
You have accepted my premise that the dog is magic.
So that's why I love the film. I love it because it throws all these conventions to the wind, and it wants you to suspend not just your disbelief in certain things that you have to suspend disbelief in for...
But everything.
but just embrace the whimsy of the universe deciding that two people will fall in love and time and space be damned.
Now, this movie marks the return to the screen together of the classic pair Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves, who the nation fell in love with in Speed.
Yes.
12 years later, they reunite for the Lake House. How did you feel about that reunion?
I thought that it was underwhelming and that, shockingly, they had zero chemistry in the one scene that they shared together.
That's the thing. They're not on screen together.
Like, yes.
It's a romance in which the two characters are only on screen together one time at the very end of the movie.
They're on screen together twice.
Wait, no, so they're together. They meet each other at one point. Keanu realizes who she is. He knows she's the person he's communicating with through time.
Yes.
Sandra Bullock does not know who he is.
No.
Can't remember why because it's so goddamn confusing. But they meet. They're on a porch. They're at a party. They make out a little bit. And then later at the end of the movie when they acknowledge their love and they rush into each other's loving embraces. What did you not think worked about those two scenes?
It isn't so much about what didn't work in those two scenes. It's about... everything in those characters. You said earlier that it was a rom without the com.
Yes.
And what we loved about them in Speed is that they had this playful banter.
They were flirting.
And they were flirting, and there was a lightness to both their characters. And this film makes them both way too serious. And it takes out some of that natural, like, tension and spark that they have.
Yeah, I think that they are both very serious in this. Do you think they were playing against type? Because Sandra Bullock, you know, I think was known for these light, bubbly roles, and she's playing this very, like, almost anxious, dour character.
Yes.
And Keanu is a sort of lovable, affable, puppy dog, quizzical thing, but he's playing this, like, furrowed brow. He's got a lot of grief and weight on him.
Yeah, he's like a serious architect. I think
yes.
They both wanted to play serious romantic leads, and it did not work in their favor.
You know, I will say, I kind of, as much as I am dismissive of Keanu Reeves' acting abilities from time to time, I thought he actually kind of sold this character to me. Like, I know some of the movies when he's acting, I was like, oh, I see him acting right there, and he is not killing it. In this one, I didn't think that at all. Like, I believed him as his character, even though he was not a very Keanu-y character.
Ah, I don't think I believed him as the character. Well, what I have on my notes is, why is Keanu not a good romantic lead? I don't think he was a good romantic lead in this film. I liked him in it, but he was not a good romantic lead.
Nobody could have been a good romantic lead in this film because he was playing scenes with his dad and his brother.
Yeah.
You can't be a romantic lead if all your scenes are with your dad and your brother. You got to have a somebody to be in love with, and they're not on screen together.
So you said that this was, what, 12 years between Speed and...
Yes, I believe 12 years elapsed between Speed and the Lake House. Had the Lake House been going 80 miles an hour or 55 miles an hour or whatever the bus was going, it would have vastly improved this movie.
This goes into the context of the film is that this is after third Matrix that hadn't done so well. So... Mm. He was high flying for a while as Keanu Reeves, but he needed something to kind of be a box office hit. And this is where the studios pulled together the plan to reunite Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves in this film, because the film doesn't need to star either one of them.
No, you're right. It doesn't.
So from a marketing perspective, it was very much a see if we can generate interest in their careers by reminding you of the things that you once used to love about them.
Was this a hit? Do you know? Do we know?
It was not a hit from my recollection. I think it was critically panned for all the reasons that you said. Okay, let's talk about this time-traveling
dog. At least with Hardball, you had a fondness for it, but you acknowledged that it was terrible. Here,
no, I love
entered
this film.
We've entered this bizarre mirror dimension where you claim that The Lake House is a good movie.
I do like this film, and I wanted to talk about the time-traveling dog, but we're going to have to hit pause on the magic dog for a second, because I'm not a romantic. I don't think anybody...
No, you're not romantic. You're a jaded soul.
Exactly. I'm a realist and cynical, and yet somehow I love the way I love the plot device of this film.
I am a romantic. I love a sentimental movie. I love a puppy dog. I love a rainbow, and yet I hated this movie. So this is a movie. The grimness of it makes this a romantic comedy for the jaded and cynical.
Probably. For me, this is a lighthearted film. Okay, let's talk about the magic dog.
So the house is magic. The mailbox, the movie, and I will allow it this. The movie doesn't try to explain the mechanism by which time is, the laws of time and physics are countermanded. That's fine. I feel like the dog, though, is the dog meant to be?
The dog is not magic.
I feel like the dog, because the dog goes with the house and the mailbox, and that's the locus of magic in the film.
But
the dog brings the two of them together. When they meet for the first time, it is the dog who brings them together.
So you think that the dog is actually the mysterious force pulling these two people together?
I don't give the filmmakers enough credit to think that they thought about any of this, but the dog seems to be more an active agent of powers beyond our mortal ken than the mailbox or the house.
Right. The mailbox is a vehicle, but the dog is actually moving things in the direction of them getting together.
Yeah, I would like to believe that there is some sort of singular force that possesses agency, but mortal minds cannot comprehend. It is using the vehicles of the house and the mailbox, and it is using the dog as its sort of corporeal agent of change in the world.
I had actually not put that together, but I think you're right. The dog is magic.
Now, before we talk about the Keanu-ness of the film, would you like to talk about the hair of the movie?
I would like to talk about the hair.
And I say the hair because I feel like we should touch not only on Keanu Reeves' hair, as is our wont, but Sandra Bullock's hair.
I think so, too. Again, in my notes, which I'm going to keep referencing until whenever.
You're so proud of yourself
for
having notes.
I'm so proud. I have written that Sandra Bullock's hair is awful.
It is. It's not good.
And Keanu Reeves' hair is bad.
So Sandra Bullock's hair, you call her Sandy, but I don't think that you're supposed to do that. I don't think that's
I know. I just call her Sandy because I don't like saying Sandra.
Sandy B, I believe, is what you refer to as.
Sandy B.
In Speed, as we discussed, she's adorable with her little short pixie hair.
Yes.
I feel like normally when you think of her, it's got this very long, like, you know, glamorous suburban mom hair.
Right.
In this movie, she's got sort of a middle ground, like short, choppy Rachel hair.
Yes.
And it is not working for her.
No, it's the Rachel that I think was very popular at that time.
Yeah, I think all women of that age had that hair at that point.
I think we're supposed to feel that because she is a very busy doctor.
She's a doctor. She's on the go. She's driving back and forth to a mailbox 2 hours from her work every day, multiple times a day. How many patients died because their doctor was tooling around the middle of nowhere sending letters to a guy from 2 years ago?
Well, we got to talk about Keanu's hair now.
I don't actually, his hair, I feel like his whole vibe though, his costume. He's wearing a lot of turtlenecks. He's wearing a lot of corduroy. I feel like they have thought about what is this character? What does he wear? And it's very like earthy and serious. But again, I feel like that works for the character he's playing.
He's an architect. And I guess architects wear turtlenecks with blazers because he seems to wear a lot of that in his important scenes.
He kind of has a short long though. He kind of has a little, you know, business in the front, party in the back vibe. Yeah. So I agree with you. It's not great.
I don't like his hair, mainly because of the point that I've said before, is that when you try to fit Keanu into some certain roles, he doesn't fit that well.
You have mentioned this before, that Keanu cannot fit the movie. The movie must fit Keanu.
Yes.
I do feel like this may be an outlier, an exception to that rule. Mm. I don't feel this movie is particularly Keanu-y, and yet I don't feel like he is out of place in it.
I think that might have to do with the fact that he's acting opposite Sandra Bullock. Because
he's not acting opposite Sandra
he
Bullock.
He is.
Barely, hardly.
So I actually thought that the scenes where the two of them are kind of going back and forth where they're seems like dialogue. Yeah, basically seems like they're G-chatting. I actually thought those were beautifully well done. I liked the slowness and the ease of both of them.
I guess, yeah, they don't. I don't bump on them, like, voice over two characters talking who aren't physically together.
Right.
If they were actually G-chatting, I would totally buy it. But the whole time I'm watching it, I was like, that's not how letters work.
Yeah, right.
These are ostensibly letters. There's no way that happens via letter.
Okay, my question for you is, where the hell is this mailbox? Because I don't understand.
It's by the lake. No, the lake.
So the thing that I've seen this movie before, and I only just realized that apparently the lake house is in Madison, Wisconsin, and she's in Chicago.
Even if you accept the time travel, just the basic timeline of the movie doesn't make a lick of sense.
No, she's driving like 8 hours a day.
Also, she lived in the lake house for like 3 months if you follow the timeline of the film. So one bone I will throw this movie, like Keanu's an architect, his dad's an architect. I feel like architect is one of those like, oh, we need an upper middle class, you know, smart but not that interesting job. Make him an architect, and it has no bearing on the film. In this movie, someone who gives a shit about architecture was involved in this movie. Because there are a lot of scenes that don't need to be there where, like, Keanu's explaining. Like, you kind of almost buy that he does kind of dig buildings.
Yeah, there is. This is not just lip service to the fact that he's an architect because they needed an occupation
for
the hero. There is a lot of architecture woven into the film. But I'll be honest with you, it did not. Thematically, it made no sense to me whatsoever.
How so?
Aside from the fact that we're talking about not being able to occupy space and light and all this weird mystical
architecture
talk.
Architecture is an element, but why?
But why? I don't understand what it had to do with the story at all, honestly.
Yeah, and the relationship with his dad, which is, I think, reasonably well done. They have this very contentious relationship. But architecture is the ground that him and his dad meet on. But yeah, but as you say, it doesn't relate to the overarching love story at all.
No, and I will point out, as we're talking about Keanu's dad in the film, it's played by the wonderful Christopher Plummer.
Yes, played beautifully by Christopher Plummer.
I don't think Keanu is good at playing normal guys. And I think that is what dings me about this film, is that
so when you wrote not good at normal in your notes, that was a reference not to yourself, but to Keanu.
I mean, for the both of us. But yes, in reference to this right now, I don't think Keanu is good at playing normal.
That's an excellent. Yeah, he's playing a very normal guy in this movie.
So if we go back through the canon, right, we talked about Hardball. We talked about, Man of Tai Chi, he was not normal.
Not normal.
So this one, he's supposed to be just a normal guy.
Yeah, a regular dude lost in time.
And I don't think he's that good at it. Oh, we haven't even talked about,
we talked about the Keanu-ness.
We have not talked about the Keanu-ness of this film.
How Keanu is this movie for you?
It's not very Keanu at all.
No, I agree. It's not very Keanu at all.
There's no real Keanu in this film.
Is there any Keanu moment for you that resonates?
Yes, there is. And it is the moment that made me scroll. I
you
love this movie.
You have a very pleased expression on your face right now. I can't wait to hear what you're going to say.
There's a moment in the film where Sandy warns him via letter that there is a late snow coming in April and a lot of people got sick. And he puts the letter away, makes himself some chicken soup, sees that the snow...
Oh, God. That scene you liked? It was so stupid.
Let me finish. Sees that the snow is falling down and does the stupidest, dumbest, fakest scene.
Achoo! What? How on the nose is that? So even if you buy
the
time travel letter
thing,
what are the odds that he would read it at the moment the snow started falling and immediately become sick?
Anyway, he goes, achoo. That's exactly what he says.
All right. You're right. That is the most and only Keanu Reeves moment in the film. Just like a ham-handed, completely alien for the character, just bah moment.
I mean, he literally says, achoo.
Well, the script said achoo. He said achoo. The man reads his lines.
Oh, my God. I'm laughing so hard. I'm crying.
And where does this movie fall for you? Knowing that we agree that this is not a very Keanu Reeves movie.
No.
Where does it fall for you in the Keanu canon?
Oh, like, it's very low. It's very low. Yeah. But it's very low because it's not really a Keanu film. What
no,
about you?
No, it's not. I agree. I you liked it. I disliked it intensely. But we agree that it is not a very Keanu movie. And therefore, it is not a useful lens by which we may interrogate the American culture, as is our project.
Does this movie say anything to you about 2006?
No. In fact, this, like, the movie set in, well, it's set in 2006/2004. But the characters are obstinately incurious about... If you were talking to someone 2 years in the future, you would have a lot of shit to ask about.
Yes.
They don't, not even to clean up in the stock market. They don't even... There's no curiosity about what has happened with all the events that are going on around us 2 years hence. They don't even ask about that at all. So no, it says nothing about it. It could have been said any time.
I think that the hair choices and the fashion choices in this film have aged very, very poorly. Because sometimes you'll see films and they don't feel that dated. But this movie feels very dated because of the hair and fashion choices.
Yeah, the Keanu movies we watched from the 90s, like My Own Private Idaho or Speed, don't feel dated at all.
No.
But yeah, this one does.
Yeah, this one feels very dated. Oh, let's talk about Keanu as a romantic leading man.
You feel he is not a strong romantic leading man.
No, and I want to bring this back up again because I have... seen a few of the other films that he's been in where he was supposed to be the romantic lead, and none of them really work.
There's one where he's wearing a fedora.
That's, I think, A Walk in the Clouds.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right. Okay.
And I vaguely remember that one, but it was not very good. The worst was Sweet November with Charlize Theron, and that is just the most garbage piece of film I've ever seen. Like, that is one movie that I'll be violently against.
Was there a Keanu period where he was trying to be a leading man, or does he periodically return to try his hand at it?
No, and this was kind of my point, which is that, like I said in Man of Tai Chi, he's not a traditional leading man, and he tried to be a traditional leading man. He did something called Feeling Minnesota, he does Hardball,
right.
He does this film, Sweet November, and... a ton of others, I think.
But I feel like
and
if you were a Hollywood
them,
studio producer, yeah. You would think like, oh, my God, I got Keanu Reeves in this rom-com he's going to kill.
Yes. Like, he is a great action star. He's a good anti-hero.
Good-looking guy.
But he's not a good romantic leading man.
No, he's not. He's never. He doesn't have a single good romantic leading man role in him.
No, as long as he's very watchable and he's very likable, but...
So this is interesting. I think perhaps you've hit on something here.
Yeah.
There's a fundamental weirdness to Keanu Reeves as an artist.
Yes.
That's your what was your line? He's not good at playing normal.
He's not good at playing normal, I don't think.
Hmm.
And these characters are supposed to be normal. And he's not good at playing normal. He's too Keanu Reeves about them.
So is this one of the rare and much searched for insights into American culture? We are constantly being force-fed this, you know, schlocky, hacky, corporate drivel through our arts and culture and entertainment. Keanu would seem to be a perfect vehicle for that, and yet he resists it at the molecular level, not just at the artistic level. And perhaps that is why we attracted him. We sense that he is being forced into this chute like a pig, and we are there with him, and we resent it, and we like that he's not good at it.
I think that's a part of it, because I sometimes think that Keanu is too good for this.
He's better than this movie.
He's better than this movie.
Which is weird, because he's not that good an actor, but he is better than this movie.
He's better than this movie, and like he's been able to make better films, but there was a time when he was forced into the peg of the Hollywood system.
Right.
And it
you
did not
work.
You
should do Kevin Costner shit. You're like Kevin Costner.
Yes. And
no,
he listened
no
to people.
No disrespect intended to Kevin Costner.
I mean, Kevin Costner's not that great. But it didn't work at all.
No. He's not good at playing normal.
And he's not like a Brad Pitt type that you can just like, or a Matthew McConaughey type that you can just kind of cookie cutter into a romantic leading man.
He's not good at brooding. He's not good at... just looking good and communicating soulfulness. None of that stuff.
No. So with that in mind, do you think that Keanu Reeves is sexy? Because I just don't.
No, I don't. I think he's handsome.
Yes.
But he's not sexy.
No, he's not sexy. Like Brad Pitt is like super hot.
Yeah, Brad Pitt has sex appeal. Keanu Reeves does not. And I actually think Brad Pitt is... probably underrated as an actor. I think his sheer handsomeness detracts from what
he can actually do. I think Brad Pitt is very good, yes.
He's probably a better actor than Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
But he also plays to the camera. He knows to, like, to make eye contact, to, you know, to smolder or wink or communicate that sort of sex appeal. Keanu either doesn't know how to do that or doesn't care to do that.
I don't think he cares to do that. I don't think he has it in him to do that and to sell himself as this, like, sex...
Because
I don't want to say sex object.
His fundamental weirdness.
His fundamental weirdness, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what I took away from all of the mediocre Keanu films that we've watched is that they've all had something very similar, and that's that they've wanted him to be a normal leading man, which he's not very good at.
As much as I dislike The Lake House, I feel we have made an important breakthrough in our ongoing project, and therefore I thank you for making me watch this stupid movie, and I take back all the terrible things I said.
I'm glad you watched it. I don't know. I'm actually not going to say that The Lake House is a good movie. I just liked it. I liked it. I definitely liked it more than Hardball. And I think I liked the fact that it didn't even try to pretend that there is any logic associated with these romance films whatsoever. They're not based in any kind of reality.
You're always giving these bad movies an L. You're kind of rooting for them.
I loved it. I loved that he said achoo.
On that note.
Yes, on that note.
Until next week, listeners, we have been Brian and Hemel on Culture Time talking about the cinematic oeuvre of Keanu Reeves. Please download our episodes and subscribe on the podcast downloading and subscribing avenue of your choice, and leave us a terrific review, as we richly deserve.
Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.